Abani Ghani, everyone. This is Professor Amin Ra, Professor Emeritus, California State University of Long Beach, longtime activist, former city councilman for the city of Compton, former Compton College Board of Trustees, former Compton Unified School District Board of Trustees, co-founder of the Black World Institute, a video and audio research center, me and Asad Jabal, and the co-host for Conscious Corner, the show that you're on tonight. We want to welcome you here, and we hope that you seek truth, do justice, and walk in the way into righteousness as we discuss critical issues that affect us as an African-American community. There's so much going on, but a lot of it is diversion with regards to the politics and what's going on. So we're going to have a discussion about a number of things. Brother Ernest brought up the fact that black codes still exist, and he's correct. They never went away. You know, they just was dormant for a little while, but now they come back openly. And with the Supreme Court ruling that you could stop Latinos or any, well, when you say people of color or brown skin colors, that includes Afro-Latinos and Afro Latino Afro Latino Afro, so that, you know, have African in them. So, you know, we got to deal with that. But anyway, we'll deal with that in a minute. The issues that we're going to discuss tonight, and I hope we have a fruitful discussion, is, you know, we as a people must continue to be the vanguard of morality in this country. That's one of the methods in which we achieved our liberation from this European, is trying to hold their feet to their constitution and appeal to those that's willing to accept their role and as a power structure to live up to the words in their constitution, their Declaration of Independence, and their judicial system that they created. Although it's been challenging. And so we're going to discuss continue to discuss this. But I just wanted to, first of all, go around and just see what people's position is on what's going on in Gaza with regards to the recent bombing today and the proposed takeover of Gaza by Israelis, by the Israeli government, and the demolishing of all buildings, hospitals, and caretaking services. Life-giving and life-saving services in Gaza. And I want to start with Ernest. What's your position on that? And why you think, what you think should be done about it?
Well, to me, it's totally wrong, because to me, you know, I'm kind of bewildered why Israel, now the way you were done in the past, and now you turn about and you're doing the same thing to these people. You're trying to annihilate a race of people. That's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. And then they got, and then when I look at the other side, and it's totally wrong in my opinion, I wouldn't back Israel for nothing, not what they're doing now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's kind of two sides to the story, because Netanyahu is a criminal. He's just like Trump. He's a gangster. He got in there, and they got charges against him. So he'd be in jail now if he wasn't the prime minister of Israel. And what he's doing, I think, now is to try to keep this war and this conflict going, you know, so, you know, to save himself from prison. Mm-hmm. So you got two things going on there. He got an ulterior motive to, you know, to keep himself out of prison by keeping this war going. Mm-hmm. But then what frustrates me is you got people, you know, it's just like Trump now, the crap he's doing. These people know it's wrong and they're backing him. Mm-hmm. You know, and the same way with Israel, you know, like my daughter keep telling me, Dad, you don't know because it's worse than what the newspapers say. Well, I say, well, I know that because our newspaper, they just tell us the half truth. We don't get the full truth on what they're really doing. But It's obvious what they're doing, and then here this clown we got in office, he trying to do the same thing to the American public, and then there's a lot of people standing in line backing him up. So I don't know. They drank the Kool-Aid some kind of way. I don't get it.
Okay, good. Brother Ahi, what's your position on Gaza?
Think Brother Ernest hit the nail right on the top of the head, but I don't believe it's the Zionists. I believe it's the United States of America who helped create that state for whatever their reasons are. And without the United States, who's the only one in the United Nations who will not condemn the Zionists or vote against any type of charge they have against the Zionists, they won't vote, but they continue to supply them with whatever weapons of destruction that they need, and they couldn't do it with America. So America is most culpable of this, and they're going to appropriate that land and take it over, and do what they normally do. This is nothing new. This is You can look at their history; it repeats itself over and over and over again. Okay, thank you.
All right, Mashinda, what's your position? You there, Mashinda?
Yeah, I am here. Good evening.
And good evening, my brother.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they it's like Brother Ahi said, this is historical, I mean, whether you have a position, right or wrong or indifferent, this has been carried out, before Benjamin Netanyahu. If you look at his daddy, Benzion Netanyahu, his grandfather, Nathan Bilikowski, they Polish folks, man. They Polish that came there. They're not natural people from that region. They're from Poland. And so they're revisionist Zionists, And so the one of the main tenets or messages from the revisionist Zionists is to take over that land. This is something that's been in play for a long time. This is what they do. And they're just, Benjamin Netanyahu is just carrying out, he's been passed the baton, the torch to carry things out, So this is what they do. You study or understand the revisionists, their belief systems. So United States is complicit. They're part of, the European dominance, the white supremacists, white supremacy. So it's like you say, I mean, we just have to try to maintain, restore morality and truth within our own path, which relative to our lifestyle, what we're involved in, on a daily basis. But this is bigger than me. This is something I was born into, and so the more I study, the more I pay attention, it becomes, clear that wow, we all were born in a deep scenario. So I mean, people been fighting for years, equal rights and what is it, Project 2025, all of those things are connected. They give it a name, but it's all based on world dominance, and we all know if we check the demographics that these power mongers, these European nations, they're dwindling. Their populations are dwindling, and every day, so it's getting smaller and smaller. So hey, it's the last call. It's their last stand, Custer's last stand, and the last call for alcohol. The party is almost over. Get you a drink. Enjoy the party, because we're about to be out of here. But we're not gonna we gonna go out. We gonna this is what they're telling us. This is how we're gonna go out. They're really bold. If you watch the news and different things that are projected, not just Donald Trump, but just worldwide, these leaders are bold and arrogant, and they don't care. They used to be covert. They're very overt now. And so anyway, stay tuned. That's all I can say.
What about you, Rasputin?
You know, I used to record Democracy Now, and now I don't record it. But when I used to listen to it, they seem like they give a full report on the Israel and Palestine happenings, the things that are going on there. And the first thing that they talked about this morning, because I turned on the radio when I was driving to my place of employment. Turned on the radio, the first thing they start talking about is Israel bombing, and they gave some re, some they had a reporter talking to some Palestinians, and they were in grief, and saying sad things. And, to keep from getting too emotional, it's kind of difficult for me to listen to that on a consistent basis, because I used to hear it almost weekly. And
I stopped watching it too, bro. I stopped watching it too.
It's a disheartening situation. But if you just know history, and if you just look at what's going on a daily basis and who does what, the original intent here in the United States is still the same. It's just playing out in a different way. And then, I affiliate with people that's living in Ghana. I've been talking to a few people, and the effects of enslavement on the blacks in the United States is a close correlation to the effects of colonization in Africa. These people, their mentality is just, it's just, I guess, I don't even know what to think about it. Is it a balance of things? You have these severely evil people, and then you have these other people that's not. So it's really a shame, and how are humans human? I mean, that you just straight out killing people. It's just, what kind of mind is that? So it's just it's utterly ridiculous. And I'm gonna say this: people are gonna die anyway, so why kill them? It don't make no sense. So that's all I can say. Everybody else, Ernest, Ahi, Mashinda, they said it. Well, you're dealing with a marauder, as Chiwara would say. That's all I have to say, Professor Rob.
I got 2 points. I'm starting a weekly article called "The Philosophy and Opinions of Amin Ra," and I just sent you a piece, Rashiki. I just wrote today and posted. You have a reparation movement, is that right? Demanding the government pay for slavery. And you ask the question sometime, are we giving reparations to each other? I mean, we all injured physicians with the ability to heal ourselves. In the 60s, a lot of us who was in the struggle, even Mr. McBride, Senior, we did things because we thought it was right, and to get in position to help black people get in position and to help them be able to buy homes and get better jobs and things of this nature, even though we may not have had them things. But our role was to get in position to help our people, not for money, not for sex, not for favor, but that was our role. And we got a lot of black people. Like in 1960, 70, there was probably only 300 black elected officials. Now you got close to 3,000, but there's over 800,000 elected officials all over the United States. But getting back to my point, the other thing is that we want to hold America accountable for their role in Gaza, which is rightfully a thing, as he pointed out, and Brother Erna and Michelle, all of us. But are we holding our own black people who have megaphones, who have elected offices, who are celebrities, who are judges, who are in positions of influence and power? Why aren't they speaking out? You understand? I mean, you're going to demand others to speak out, but you ain't speaking out. And we've got to deal with political accountability. That's one thing Ernest McBride Sr. always pushed when he was active, holding not only getting black people in office, but holding them accountable to do the right thing and to speak truth to power. So we have professional athletes, entertainers, judges, political people on every level, federal judges, all these people. And then they're on television, they're celebrities getting awards, Grammys, and all of this, and they don't mention Gaza, they don't mention Sudan, they don't mention Hades, where genocide is taking place. It's not just in Gaza. You understand? I mean, but why do you think they're not speaking out? Brother Ernest?
I don't know. It's bewildering to me because
I mean, have you heard any of them make a statement about Gaza? Even the news commentators. They're all
I
about
look at award shows. Yeah, somebody might make a comment. I think this Jewish situation, I've heard him make some comments like during the NAACP awards, a couple of stars, but like you say, it's not very many
What
saying
about you,
anything.
Ali? Why do you think they're not speaking out? Are you there?
Yes, because it's about the me and not the we.
When you say me, what do you mean?
If it's all individual, we're in a state now where people sell each other out for a few coins of silver. It's
A chitlin sandwich.
even, I mean, even these some of these athletes who have already made hundreds of millions of dollars were threatened because they had taken a stand. Look at Kyrie Irving. He was threatened because he just had an opinion about Judaism and almost lost his contract, millions of dollars. But he cut that stand short because he said, I'm gonna get the money. Okay, I said what I had to say, but now because that money is at stake, I'm not saying it anymore. Colin Kaepernick, they'll show you what they're gonna do to you. So people choose to, I'm keeping my money. Just like the other day, the sister was talking about, I become a whore for the money. Okay, Professor.
Okay, Mashinda, why do you think they're not speaking up?
Well, because they employed by the oppressor.
Teach.
So, I mean, they get in there, that's where they get their paychecks. See, the football field ain't nothing but an extension of the slave ship. So they part of that. They part of that. They understand what's going on, but people, the old saying is people sell their soul to the devil. People pick their poisons. People do all kind of things. And why human behavior is such, like Brother Rasaki was pointing out, human behavior is very complex, and some at the very same time very. Very simple to understand. People are conditioned. It's all about, their upbringing and what they're exposed to and their habits, and you pretty much grow into the person, you know, you develop into the, you know, based on what, you know, your relative understanding and your, what you encounter in life, you know, your experiences in life. So a lot of the guys that make sports teams, a lot of the brothers in particular, they're looking for a way out. So money, when they put money in front of them, hey, you know, everybody want to get paid. Everybody wants to get paid, you know. It reminds me of these students, you know, getting these student loans. I say, you know, you got to pay that back. They don't. It's, and I, you know, give them a little financial literacy about, do you understand that you're about to, I said, now, if you need that money, you get that money. Don't get me wrong. I can't, you know, legislate what you do. I said, but you're, if you're looking at it just because you see, and they get it, you know, because they want the bag. They want the money. So the athletes have the opportunity to get the big bag. And so, hey, a lot of them ain't going to rock the boat. Look at Micah Parsons dealing with Jerry Jones. Are you serious? You know, if you understand the NFL, NFL, oh, man, the NFL what is it, a 504? Their business model, it's not even a 503C, it's a 501, it's a 504. They get away with all kind of things on a business level, and they don't have to produce a lot of records, you know, a lot of the you know, financial records and things like that. I mean, I'm sure they're accountable to certain things, but when I, you know, recently I was peeping game on, you know, some guy that was talking about it. He's on YouTube. Look, he worked with the Players Association, the brother, and he was breaking it down. I have to, you know, go back and find it, and maybe, you know, maybe Rasa Key can post it or something, and we get you that information. But it was an interesting talk to where basically that's what he was saying. He said, man, the NFL, he was talking particularly the NFL, but the other leagues are very similar in a lot of ways, you know. So my point is, I'm speaking on sports that, you know, they work. This is who they work for. Entertainers, you know, that's what they are. They're entertainers. And that's what they'll tell you. They know what's going on. You say, oh, wow, they're exposed to the masses worldwide. Why aren't they saying anything? Well, the thing is, they won't be exposed if they become like you. You know, they start speaking truth to power and all that. They're not going to be, they're not going to get any radio play. We talked about rappers the other day. You know, you talk about the different songs that they'll play on the radio. As long as you are, you know, doing what they tell you to do, but somebody like Public Enemy or KRS-One, which talk high conscious stuff, stuff that we talk about, they were rapping about. They got no radio play. No, they had to rely on, you know, other ways to monetize and make money. You know, I mean, they did concerts and things like that. They put albums out, but as far as being on that radio constantly, you know, feeding truth to the kids and the young, and people who like music or rap, the positive stuff, they wasn't getting any radio play. So if you talking truth, oh no, you're not gonna get that. You're not gonna get that chance to. They're gonna cut you down. Just like you say, they brought you up, they'll bring you right back down, you know. So it's so that's why they're not taught. They live in Beverly Hills, man. They gotta pay the, they wanna buy three or four houses. They're not trying to pay. I got mine. What you wait? What, when you gonna get yours? I, you know, you on welfare. You guys are part of the problem. You know, you guys are, my tax, you know, money is going toward SNAP benefits. They need to cut all that and give me a tax break. That's what they thinking, you know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, I'm just going on and on.
Okay, Roger Key.
Hey, Professor Ra, I'm not able to get what you sent to me.
Okay.
It says the content isn't available right now.
Okay, I'm going to send it to you another way.
Okay, good, because I want to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
And what can I say about this stuff? People, I mean, Mashenda was talking about it. Ahi talked about it. It's conditioning. People are conditioned. And then one thing about it is, it's sort of like survival to a lot of people. The best way they can survive
Let me call you back, Ryan. You're on the air.
The best way to survive is to go along to get along. And if you get a chance to hang out in a certain crowd because you have a certain talent, or you worked hard to acquire, you know, certifications, and whatever they can see that you do, they can exploit it to their advantage. And that's the type of system we live in. So a lot of people just figure they want to feel, I'm about to probably write a piece called Secure Security. A lot of people are looking for that word is so vital to life. A lot of people is looking for security. So when you stand up and speak out and do something that's righteous for people, you're putting yourself in an insecure position. So yeah, you know, a lot of people do things because they want to live a certain lifestyle. They want to live long. So they just go along and get along. Now, you take people like Malcolm and Martin and other people, Bob Marley. These people was just on the front line. They was living their life for righteousness and doing what they thought they should be doing to help the people. So you people make choices. And the choices is probably most people is, I'm living a system that's monetary. I want to make this money. I want to live a lifestyle like these oppressors of providers. You know what I'm saying? They think that the way they live is the way we should be living. Drinking, smoking, acting crazy, killing. And so, you know, I think when you get a level of consciousness about life, true life, then you know that the way we've been living under this rule is incorrect. That's all I have to say.
Okay, but let's look at it another way also. What about the black political activists like Sharpton and the president of the NAACP and Urban League and you know, community activists that are supposed to be strong in black organizations, reparation organizations and Pan-African organizations? They're not saying too much either.
Professor Ron?
Yeah.
Reason being is they don't do, they only gonna, matter of fact, that's called showcasing. They are in a position and you don't know if they're in the back room or not. You know, they may not be, but we don't know if they are or not. And evidently whatever they're doing, it's not enough.
Yeah, but
what is enough, you know?
Yeah, but we had examples of people that gave their lives to speak truth to power. And that's one of the reasons we were able to galvanize and get some portions of our liberations. I mean, from Nat Turner to John Brown to, you know, Denmark Vesey to Fannie Lou Hamer, you understand? I mean, they were disruptive. I mean, in the 60s and in the 50s, Martin Luther King, you know, he went against laws. He spoke about the Vietnam War, things of this nature. And, of course, they assassinated him, Malcolm, and all of them. But what I'm getting at is this. All of y'all are correct. You know, they tied to the purse strings of a lot of people. And he says about the individual, you know, maintaining their brand and staying out of politics. I mean, here come Beyonce riding on a white horse, dressed up in a white cowboy suit and, you know, not saying nothing about anything controversial, just singing Western songs and things. Every now and then she has some songs with lyrics in it. But for the most part, They're not really doing things that they could be doing and be an outrage about the slaughtering of people, not just in Gaza, but in Sudan and Yemen, but specifically Haiti, and the deportation of the Latinos that's going on right now. You don't hear a condemnation that you would expect from a moral, who's supposed to be the moral vanguard. That's what Martin Luther King said. We are the arc of justice is long, but it always bend toward justice. But my point is that, they have a we the reason they allow them don't speak out is because we don't hold them accountable, and we don't punish them for not speaking out. They don't have a price to pay. I'm not talking about what the white men will do to them. We keep electing them again. Here, Eleanor Holmes, 90 years old, running for office again in Washington, D.C., as things of this nature. You have Maxine Waters, 85 some years old, just bought a major multi-million dollar mansion in Windsor Hill. You have the guy in North Carolina. Why are these cats staying in office so long? Why aren't they training young people or even staff members to take their place? You understand? Because it's about money. You understand? They ain't in it to help us. And somebody got to criticize that. You understand? I mean, we give them a pass because of their notoriety. You understand? And they're up there making deals. All you see is deals, deals, deals. And they're part of the Democratic Party. And if the Democratic Party say you can't talk about this, they'll call you out like they did the so-called squad, because then when they came in, they were talking, spitting fire, talking about Palestinians and talking about this. Now you don't hear nothing from them. You understand? And my point is that it's a challenge when you have multi-millionaire black people that's already set for the rest of their life. They can't speak truth. They can't, the greed and the selfishness and selling records and continuing to get more money and more money and more money versus liberation and justice for people worldwide. You can't expect for people to fight for you if you don't fight for other people. And my point is that here we are looking at people that have the power to speak out. I mean, the civil rights organizations, all their executive presidents and directors were on payroll. Back in the 70s, Jesse Jackson was getting $250,000 a year for being over PUSH, Operation PUSH. Urban League and all them cats was getting money from corporate America. They would go and talk to the people and say, listen, if you don't make a major contribution to our organization, we're going to demonstrate against you. And they accused them of poverty pimping and all of that type of stuff. Because, see, we don't know the in crowd. Matter of fact, we can't even get their public disclosures of their financial status. You name me one major political person in Congress or the Senate that you can get their economic. Who they contributed to, who contributed to them. You understand? They are shielded by the system because the system don't let none of it go out, even for white people. But most people don't even ask. You start out, you always get having fundraisers in your neighborhood, chicken dinners, this, that, this, and that. And then once you get in office, corporate America start being your biggest contributor. You understand? Now, getting back to this point, you got black newspapers. Black newspapers. When they started Freedom Waves, North Star, you understand? They were abolitionists. They were fighting for freedom, not all their articles. Now they're just social things. You understand? Just social. You understand? Giving out awards and accepting awards, having conferences. You understand? But as far as front page every day, what's going on in the world and in our communities, and holding black politicians and movie stars and those that little people, young people like us, are responsible for their progress. They used to couldn't even sleep in the same hotel with white folks. And we broke all that down, and but we can't hold them accountable to continue to make a life for our future generation and hold this country responsible to liberate itself from this racist white supremacy ideology. You understand? So they're a part of it. I mean, look at the minority leader of the Democratic Party, a brother. You know, here they are talking about Epstein and sex trafficking. That's the lead story on every news outlet. And it's not by accident. It's not the focus on Gaza or Haiti or Lebanon or genocide or the countless wars that's going on. So they divert you. You understand? They divert you. Here's Israel saying, you can't print an article about what's going on in Gaza unless we approve it. And here, we talking about freedom of the press. But we won't press Israel. They got satellites. They got all kinds of ways to get the news out. When they went in the war, remember in the Desert Storm, they showed you how the missiles hit and how they were taking out things with their satellites and following the missiles and everything. But all of a sudden, they can't see what Israel's doing.
Yeah.
You understand? And it's not the Jewish, even the Jewish people. Every time they talk about ending the war, they mention the hostages. The hostages. Hostages are first. We got to free the hostages. You understand? You know, but getting back to Germany, those were white folks killing white folks. You know, the biggest ethnic group in America is Germans, white ethnic group. Just look it up statistically. They're the majority population of white people in this country. And I want you to understand this. I'm so glad Mashinda brought up the history of them Jewish leaders. But the point is that in order for us to get our liberation, we must break the mold. We can't just sit and be comfortable in our oppression. And as Rosh Gee always said, let the oppressor control what we teach, what we learn, and control what we say. What's the good in having a black page? I think Farrakhan put it like this. We got some brilliant minds, brilliant heads of organization, brilliant heads of political structures and economic structures. But what good is it to have a gray head that's not connected to the body? They're not connected to us. You understand, as a people on the general election. I went to Sacramento when I was in elected office, and the majority, they got a little pool down there right next to where they be voting, a little area that they call a stall or something. Nothing in there but lobbyists. And they send their card to a politician, and the politician come over, or his assistant, and make an appointment with the lobbyist. You understand? I mean, it's all about the money. They go in there, and we think they're going in there to serve us, but they're going in to get money, and they want to protect that money. And that's why they stay in office so long. You understand? I mean, what you going to do at 85 and 86? You know, I mean, why are you still there? You like the perks. And that's even the white ones. You know, Nancy Pelosi's in her 90s. Oh, you know, all of them. And you understand? And the people keep voting them in. You understand? Because of their ignorance. Because of conscious politics begin in the home. All of our children should be politically knowledge and politically active with their voting and know who to vote for and what to vote for at an early age. They're not going to teach them this in school. This is something that we have to require our young people to participate in. You understand? And explain to them why. Because it affects you. It affects you when they cut student loans. It affects you when they have a get rid of DUI and all of that, DEI, and all of that. It affects you when they cut jobs and cut government agencies, because they're the ones that hire most of the black, not private industry. It's always been government industry. You understand? That we force to integrate. You understand? And so we're in a struggle. But getting back to the fact that you have black people that we're not holding our politicians and our professionals accountable. You understand? Not like Machinist said, with Common Act sat on one knee, it was okay. You understand? We just ain't gonna play. We just gonna wipe him out. He ain't the first black athlete that they wiped out. You understand, for taking a stand. But, you know, so the other ones are intimidated and full of fear. And the reason they're full of fear is because there's not a mobilization, an organizational, a protection apparatus for them to be able to speak their special truth to the world. And so we have to look at this. We can't hold nobody accountable if we can't hold ourselves accountable. And not even us, as far as teaching and speaking out. And that's why we have this show, to speak our special truth, you know, and to be able to post articles and things that we think the people need to know. You understand? And so I look at this and I say, okay. So they divert the news and make it about Epstein, make it about deportations, which are rightfully should be discussed. I ain't saying they shouldn't be discussed, but they shouldn't be the lead story when you're bombing babies, kids, hospitals, and civilians by the thousands. You understand? They don't know how many Palestinians they didn't kill in Gaza alone, not talking about the West Bank. They just bombed another city that's supposed to be the place where they were negotiating a peace accord, and they bombed the office where the people were meeting in another country. And nobody's criticizing and condemning, not Judaism. I had nothing to do with Judaism. That's white folks, you understand, who, as Machinda and everybody said, want the land. Same way they wiped out the Native Americans. Nobody talk about the genocide of the Native. Well, some people do. The genocide of the Native Americans. You understand? 12 million were here. Now you're down to a few on reservation. And talking about they discovered this country. No, they discovered the people that was already here. Do you understand? I mean, because we learn, we know, and we tried to drop it. I know Machinda tried to drop it, and he tried to drop it on people, but so many of them don't want to hear. They're inoculated and hooked on Americanism. They like the sugar, the salt. They like the entertainment. You understand? They let their kids watch and play games all day and never watch the news and never sit down with them and watch the news. You understand? And some of them even join in, daddy's joining in and playing the games with them. You understand? What's going on in the rest of the world ain't even important. You understand? Until it knocks on their door. So it's a struggle in that sense. Second, we forget the power of the Jewish lobbyists who have most of our people, black people, as well as other industries in their pocket. You know, they give big money to politicians, Democrats and Republicans. They got them both on the string. You understand? And none of them would criticize or condemn Israel, the Israel government, for what they're doing. They won't even call it genocide. You understand? They keep saying the war between Gaza and Hamas and Israel. Ain't nothing. Hamas ain't even fighting back. They ain't got nothing to fight back with. They ain't got no food. You understand? They don't even have no weapons. They don't have no air force. They don't have no army. They don't have no navy. They don't have no tank. They don't have nothing. They're just throwing rocks and shooting little carbines and things. You understand? And they come up, well, we're going to turn it into a resort. And y'all got to move. And there's no condemnation. Not even by the Pope. Not even by the great religious leaders. Now, Reverend Wright in Chicago, he speak out. Brother Bryant in Atlanta, he speak out. But most of our mega churches here Reverend Blake, Brother Knowles, whatever his name is, they got these mega churches. Hey, man, it's about pass the basket. You understand? Pass the basket. You understand? They all can put out newsletters. They all can do things to uplift the people. They didn't forget Martin Luther King tradition. They quote him. They quote him. And they refer, they use him as a reference, but they don't use him as a resource. You understand? For their integrity. You understand? That's why you don't have a major leader. Now, I know we are diverted with different interests. You got the AIDS movement. You got the gay movement. You got the, you know, the abuses of other people here in this country, the deportations and all that. Now, I'm not saying don't focus on those things. You understand? But you got to also focus on the immediate thing. In our generation, as a people, are we going to sit back like as citizens and don't speak out and don't demand our leaders to speak out, even through letters, to go to their town hall meetings and ask them why you're not speaking out? You understand? Or, you know, I mean, well, I mean, we have a responsibility too as individuals to be activists. You understand? Don't just be couch coaches and saying why ain't other people doing it. It's what you do. You understand? It's what you do too. You know, in the future when our kids read about Gaza and they ask you as grandpa, granddaddy, and great granddaddy, what were you doing while they were killing all these people? You understand? What were you saying? You understand? Can you live with that? Most people can. You understand? Most people, hey, man, that ain't none of my business. Man, that's white folks' business. That's the country. You know, you'd be surprised at the black people that support the mass deportation of the Latinos and other African people. Remember 187? Was that 187 Ernest that they voted for the limited services to the Latinos in 1970? I think there was a bill that majority of the people voted for it. You understand? Now listen, why ain't they holding the companies that's hiring them accountable? What about the executives that are hiring the cheap labor? And what about Schwarzenegger, who gave an illegal person a baby? What about Nancy Pelosi, who had illegals working for her? What about Trump in his golf courses having illegals working for him for years? Nobody's questioning them. If the companies didn't hire them, they wouldn't come. You understand? But they import them. They help smuggle them in. You understand? To get that cheap labor. That's what's taking the place of jobs for black people and other minorities here. You understand? The cheap labor. It's slave labor. That's why many of them work, many of them live by families in two-bedroom houses. And they, you know, they hustle and hustle and hustle. They're out selling snow cones and cream corn on the steak and all kind of stuff, you know, selling flowers on the corner and fruit on the corner and peanuts. You understand? Because they can't get jobs. So they create jobs. They're very aggressive. You know, somebody buying them a food truck, they operating the food truck. You think it's a Latino food truck, but it's a white people buying it. All those trailers for the homeless. White corporations are buying the trailers and renting them to them. Buying them old trailers you see up and down the street. You understand? They don't own them things. They're leasing them and renting them from white corporations. Do the research. You know, people say, why they let all these trailers up and down the street? You understand? Especially on Redondo going up toward Gardena from Compton in Figueroa and all that. You see a whole trail of them. And even on Santa Fe, when you cross Del Amo, none but trailers up there by the track. You understand? I mean, it's a lot going on, brothers and sisters. I'm not knocking it, and I'm not putting nobody down. But I just want us to think about certain things, holding our people accountable.
Excuse me,
That's what
Professor Brown.
Brother Arbery used to say all the time: hold our political representation accountable. The stronger we are, the stronger they'll be. Go ahead, Ernie.
Professor Brown,
Yeah.
we have another person here on the from the it's an iPhone person here.
All right, ask him to speak up. Who is
This is Mashariki. I was driving. Now I'm in the
it?
house. I'm so on it with you, all that you've been talking about. I said the same thing. How come Maxine Waters hasn't trained somebody to replace her old self so that they could take over? How come the president of the NAACP feels all messed up when somebody asks him some real questions? He wants to get up and leave out of a meeting because he don't want to talk about Cory Booker. I was surprised to see that he was taking the side of annihilating the Palestinians by giving more weapons to Israel.
Yeah, he voted
So
for
all of them, it's all of them all about the money. People don't really
it.
care about people no more. They don't even want to
Yeah.
take the time out to send an email, more or less a letter, to in regards to anything. And if we don't do something, all of us, I keep telling people, this is a dress rehearsal. We next. You either stand up and make a sound, or just when they come for you, don't say nothing. Just go ahead and go with them.
But see, Mashariki, they've been taking us off the set. They put us in prisons.
No, that's
Then
true.
that takes away your voter strength, your
That takes
family
away
strength with
everything.
men in prison and women in prison.
And then the
That's what they called
music,
it.
and then some music, some
Political
mu
imprisonment.
and some
No,
music,
political ger prison gerrymandering
right?
by taking black voters, giving them felonies where they can't vote, and things of this nature. That's not an accident. You
Mm-mm.
understand?
And
You understand?
romanticizing it in the music to make it seem like that's the thing to do, to be hard and you want to go to prison. That prison ain't no play game.
No.
I don't want to go there to find out what it's like.
Well,
Anybody
I've
that
been
I
there
know
for
that have
10
been there,
days.
okay.
I've been there for 10 days, and
But
I'm telling you, I still ain't gotten over it. And that was
yeah.
what, in 2004?
And then
10 days.
we've seen them take escort people out of meetings by asking these questions and arrest them. We're asking these questions. They don't want people to think. They don't want people to know that there should be a difference, that people should be treated. You should get more out of what you're doing here. It's either all or none. It's not going to be no one group. But
No,
anyway.
that's why I say we as a people, of course we got to organize, but
Of
we got to be
course.
strength. You got to know how to speak and where to speak. You got to realize you're behind enemy lines. And
And
you
I
got to
think Rashiki started off talking about fear, that people have so much fear about different things that they just give in to get along, to just to have a life. It might not
Yeah.
be they want to do what they've seen plastered on magazines and videos and stuff like that, but just coming together as a village and working as a village when it comes to food and caretaking and everything else, that's living. And we can't do this kind of stuff all by ourselves. We need everybody. And everybody to be on the same page, but it seems like such a difficult thing. I know so many men who said they're not voting no more because their vote don't count and their interest wasn't included. And then I asked, did you call? Did you write? Did you leave a voicemail? Anything? Because they have to keep track of any type of connection or conversation or somebody messages. It doesn't just dissolve. Did you even try? And it was like, no, they haven't even tried. They just say they're giving up because this country has shown them that they don't care about us and their vote doesn't count.
Yeah, and they get in church and say we are soldiers in the army, and we
No,
got to
don't even
fight
start with
although
church
we got to
because
die.
I'm
We got to
watching.
hold up the blood thing banner. We got to hold it up until we die.
Yeah,
Yeah,
right.
so much for that. You
Yeah.
understand? My point is that we can't give up hope. It ain't hope.
No, we can't.
They try to get you to the point. Many of the brothers and sisters that was in the Holocaust of enslavement did not fight for their freedom. It was only a minority. They benefit from it. Many of the people didn't march with King. Matter of fact, the NAACP criticized King, talking about y'all going to jail too much, and we have to get y'all out, and you're breaking our budget.
And
And
quit coming in today,
that
and they was complaining.
the NAACP at that time, they was young. He was an informant on the Christian movement for the FBI, for the Justice Department. Not only that, they criticized a lot of black organizations and people that stood up. Black people did. Martin Luther King letter from Birmingham to black preachers. Yeah, from the Birmingham jail. That was to black preachers who told him he's coming in there making too much trouble.
That's right. That's right.
You understand? So we gonna have that. We always had collaborators, but the beautiful thing is we still made progress despite all the obstacles that we had by those that were spitting truth and standing up, making you know, getting assassinated, many of them, and put in prison. And wiped out and factored out. Black organizations were wiped out in the 60s. Wiped out. Just like they got, look at the Arab countries that won't even say nothing about the genocide. Look at them working with America and Israel.
Yep.
Arab countries. Why the people are starving. You understand? So, but you can't give up hope. And you can't look at the bad at all. I look at the good. The ones that is making progress, the people that stood up in Ferguson for Michael Brown, the people that stood up in Minnesota for George Floyd, the people that stood up for the sister Latasha Harlan, when we stood up for the black people in the 60s and 70s that and demonstration. Look at the people that stood up for Rodney King and stood up, and you know, we stood up for Ron Settles, we changed Signal Hill forever. We never, you couldn't even go through Signal Hill.
Now they give them incentives.
Now people, you have black mayor in Signal Hill. But they don't credit us with liberalizing them. When I went to Mr. Settles' funeral, they didn't even mention that his son was killed in Signal Hill and that they led demonstrations.
Really?
With Reverend, what's the Reverend guy? He was one of the main leaders. I'll get his name later. Out of Long Beach. His son played pro basketball. You know him, Ernest. So, but he you know, he led the demonstrations. You understand? And then with some, even Uncle Tom would slide us information. Bill Barnes would call us and say, "Sleep." You call me Sleepy then. The police is in the parking lot over at Long Beach City where I work. I just give me all heads up. You understand?
Well, and saying all of that, you know, I mean, I've been reading up on this brother that's over in Burkina Faso, Ibrahim Touré, and I hope that all the things that he's doing is really real and it's not, you know, a big
fake
thing, but it looks like he's doing some, he has great ideas and he's putting it to work and making it happen and making a difference and inviting black Americans to come on.
But see, all we asking, all you ask for is, hey, just tell the people the truth. I mean,
okay.
How are you going to let the Israel government tell America, you can't print no articles about what's going on in Gaza, no independent reviews, unless we approve it, and we approve it. You can't even come in there and take statistics. You know, they bomb a hospital, bomb a civilians, and they say, we investigate. And you never hear the end of the investigation. You understand? And nobody's holding that accountable. But the struggle continues. You know, so we got to continue to speak truth, do justice, and walk in the way of righteousness. And we got to keep having our mindset, even if we only can talk to a few people that agrees with us and know what we're talking about. Sometimes you got to know when to hold them, when to fold them.
That's right.
You understand? Right. Because you see how serious this country is. You understand? Like Mashariki say, they'll lock you up. And like Ms. Jenner said, they'll ruin your career.
Yes, they'll ruin your life.
I tell my kids all the time, don't be talking stuff up there, just y'all. Don't let people know what you think outside the family and outside the conscious people you are, because they'll say you're militant. You understand? They label and demonize us for speaking truth. You understand? So the struggle continues. And Roger P, you want to take us on in?
Yes. Today I spoke with Dr. Ali Muhammad, the national leader for the Revolutionary Black Panther Party. They came on with us some months ago, and he's in Chicago. And there, I don't know exactly what the organization is doing, but those ICE operations that's going on, he wants to discuss that next Tuesday on this show. So that's
well, what we haven't went to Chicago yet.
Well, I've read a couple of articles. They were seemed like they were sending some people. So we'll see. But he's gonna talk about that, I presume. That's what he asked about. And then tomorrow we have Dr. Inky Real coming on. And let me show everybody. And we have another show on Saturday also with Dr. Iris. So I just want to share that. It's going to on the home page of the website. So here we go. So we have Dr. Inky Real, Melanin Genesis. And then we have Dr. Iris coming on from Panama. So
what are you going to talk about?
Yeah, we're going to interview him. He's in the wellness community, been around for many, many years. A world traveler. And he's well known specifically with a lot of juice making in the wellness community. So that's on Saturday. That's a message to the Black diaspora. Okay. So that's what we have coming up the rest of this week and next week.
Next Tuesday, we got the Black Panther brother.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And he's going to talk about this. Look at this. The Supreme Court saying that it's okay to stop people based on how they look, where they work, and the color of their skin. Is that something?
That is.
And nobody criticized the Supreme Court. Nobody called them a sack of racists, a sack of bought off, and don't give Trump immunity.
Rubber stamp.
Nobody
that's
called
what
them the name, except for a few people on the court was criticized the decision, but they don't criticize the people that voted for it.
Well, anybody that is criticizing, they're not making it on public TV.
Right.
So we got people. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we have people like us, and probably some of these other organizations saying some, but they're not gonna get no publicity. That's for sure.
Yeah, I was gonna call Nelson the other morning, and I've been going through it, brother. I lost two good friends this past week. One had a funeral, and the other one died Sunday morning. One of my best friends worked with him, and he's just a beautiful brother, but I feel real bad about that. Brother
my
Ron
condolences,
Chapman.
My condolences, Professor.
Yeah, Brother Ron Chapman, man. Philanthropist, brother, he had money. He just did a lot of good things. But anyway, and then I've been sick, man. I've been real sick with this kidney issues and all kinds of little things, but I got to keep pushing.